Oh, we've been looking forward to this for a long time. Mary Giuliani is the author of a very fun new book called Tiny Hot Dogs, a memoir in small bites. From awkward schoolgirl to caterer to the stars, Mary has gathered together a collection of hilarious memories from professional growing pains to her long journey to motherhood, never losing her sense of humor, and her love for everyone's favorite party food, pigs in a blanket, which are just the aroma is overtaking the studio, and I must say it smells great. Tiny Hot Dogs, a memoir in small bites, is out from our friends at Running Press, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mary to the program. How are you?
I'm well, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's lovely. First of all, I would have you under any circumstances on the show to talk about your memoir, which is beautiful and a lot of fun. And but then your publicist said that you would bring hot dogs and cocktails.
I
said, well, all right.
Yeah, I know how to travel. Salted meats and salty cocktails.
Well, so let us first, okay, just real quick for the audience, how did you become so closely affiliated with Pigs in a Blanket?
Oh, the journey is long.
Okay.
Well, it starts my childhood. I grew up very Italian, like so Italian. I had a mustache, my sister had a mustache, and my father had a mustache.
That's Italian.
Yes, in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood on Long Island. And
yeah,
I attended 178 bar and bat mitzvahs growing up.
But not Jewish?
Not Jewish. Very Italian.
Mary, very Italian Catholic?
Very Italian Catholic.
Okay.
With a glaringly un-Jewish name, Mary.
Yes.
And so week after week, I would attend these elaborate rites of passage, and didn't have many friends. So I would sit outside the caterer's kitchen, and the door would swing open, and this silver tray would come out with these salty, buttery little perfection bites. So I was kind of an outsider growing up.
Yeah.
Fast forward to my current career, I am a caterer now, and I'm still the girl behind the tray of hot dogs, but now I get to see some pretty amazing things.
So what is it about them, do you think, that we love?
I think it's a nostalgic bite of happy. It's easy.
It's a nostalgic bite of happy.
Everyone has a story about being at that party and biting into that salty, delicious, tasty thing. It's simple. It's special. Should we do it? Yeah, let's do it.
Now, how do you how do you make these? What is the secret here?
Well, the secret for you today, they were frozen, and I put everything bagel salt on them.
Oh,
but,
all right. I didn't even know that existed. Bagel salt.
So I like people. You know, it's hard to make the fancy hors d'oeuvres. People get intimidated by playing with puff pastry and all that stuff. Mm. So I say, cut that out if that makes you nervous. You can buy simple frozen pigs in a blanket and doctor them up. I put everything bagel salt, sesame seeds, garlic, onion, but you could put taco seasoning, you could put Italian seasoning, anything to make your pig special.
Yeah. But my God, they're just perfect. They're everything you need.
It's immediate happy. I cater over 400 parties a year for my catering company.
Happy.
And all I have to do, this tray just has to come out, and I see the smiles, and I see the arm grabs, and everyone's in good mood.
So at what point in your life and in your career did you say, oh, I have stories here that I would like to tell and share with other people?
I've always been a little bit of a storyteller because I grew up in a house where storytelling and food and gathering were one.
Yeah.
So you sat at the table. Back to the Italian Jewish family. I was so Italian. My grandparents lived in my basement. And every Saturday we spent cooking and telling stories. And there was always a story behind the food we were cooking. So I enter the world of catering, and it kind of is the same thing. Every event, every meal, every bite, there was a story behind it. So I journaled a lot, and then this funny caterer to the stars thing happens, which I still kind of cringe, because you hear caterer to the stars, you kind of want to hate that person, like caterer to the stars. And that's really not what I am, but I do have these wonderful clients and all this great stuff. And so I got a little bit of attention, and with that attention, they said, what would you like to do with it? And I said, I'd really like to just write my stories. So this book actually started as a play called If You Can't Join 'Em, Serve 'Em. And it was going to be my one-woman show.
Yeah.
Where if you came, I would tell you the story, and then my waiters would serve you a bite or a sip of what was in the story.
Oh, well, so that's pretty much what you're doing now.
Exactly.
Okay. Put that on the resume. First of all, you get this caterer to the stars, and I understand your ambivalence toward that. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I would have that same feeling. But as far as the, but it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did that start to happen? Where is that word of mouth? One person tells another person and another person
tells
another
person. Exactly. And I was very lucky when I started my company. A friend of mine had just taken a job at the Tribeca Film Festival. And he called me and he said, listen, you want to be a caterer? I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, I have 15 parties in 1 week. Do you think you could handle it?
These are lovely.
I had, I'll get joy.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
I had one employee at the time, which was my husband, and a chef. And I said, yes, we could take this on. So we did 15 parties in 1 week for the Tribeca Film Festival. And it was the hardest I ever worked in my life. It was the most terrified I ever was in my whole life. But at the end of the week, I realized that this is what we were going to do. We were good at it. And that party led to HBO becoming a client and Warner Brothers becoming a client. And it was right place, right time with a lot of work and sacrifice.
How much in your job, how much FaceTime do you want with the client? In the sense of if the party, let's say it's an HBO party. Mm-hmm. I'm just making this up. But let's say it's an HBO party and you're doing it for the show Veep.
Yep.
How much are you interested in what HBO wants? How much are you interested in what the folks from Veep want?
I did do that party, which is funny.
All right.
good example. I love to be the most creative extension of whatever we're celebrating. So being a young cinephile and wanting, you know, to get into food because I had acting aspirations and theater aspirations, when a client like HBO comes to me and says, you get to watch an episode of something, and then you get to tell us how we're going to celebrate this at the party through the food and through the drink and through the decor, that's like the greatest thing in the world for me. So I like to be the most creative extension of the art they've already created through food and beverage and gathering.
Now, you write in the book about this, first of all, as the company starts to take off, you realize that less and less people are inviting you to their house for dinner because they feel intimidated.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think I would feel intimidated. Not by you, mm-hmm. but by the idea that whatever I did, you do this for a living.
Right.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you overcome that?
Well, that's why I wrote a chapter in this called Basically I'm Not a Foodie, which is funny because I appreciate the foodie culture.
Does foodie culture mean that in some way you judge?
Yeah, I think so. And for me, food was like air and life. So I appreciate those who want to take pictures. And I mean, I'm guilty of it, too. But I am not a fancy foodie. I don't even know how to cook that fancy. I like simple and special things. I grew up in a household where we ate simple and special things. The pig in a blanket is the greatest example of something that is simple that could be special. I laugh when people say, I'm worried to invite you over to my house because, first of all, any meal someone else cooks is incredible.
Amen.
For me.
Yeah.
And if you pulled out a hot dogs and a bottle of wine, we'd be best friends. That's it. I don't need foams. I don't need reductions. I don't need anything fancy.
Yeah. So when you go to a client then and you say, hey, I've got this great idea. We're going to serve pigs in a blanket. Mm-hmm. Does anybody ever say, maybe let's do something a little more exciting than that?
Yes. And that's when I have my wonderful business partner who is the foodie who could come in and say all those wonderful things. But when I started my company, I had worked for a very polished, buttoned up silver tray caterer where I was, you know, selling things that I didn't even know how to pronounce. So when I started my own business, it was really important that I serve things that were authentic to me. Things like, basically things you would see on a kid's menu. Lori Colvin says it great, and she calls it nursery food. And I basically have made a living out of serving nursery food. Tiny grilled cheese sandwiches, tiny burgers. I'm the incredible shrinking woman of food.
When an event is going on, where are you?
Praying in a bathroom stall, usually.
Okay.
Hoping that it all goes well. The big ones, I'm usually, I'm still terrified and petrified of this beautiful business that I've built.
But are you expected or not expected to be amongst those collected?
For many years, I was expected, and I gave a lot of myself, including, as I joke in the book, but really talk about in an emotional way, my reproductive organs. I had a lot of trouble getting pregnant. I suffer infertility, endometriosis. So there's a lot of stress. But because I was out 7 nights a week, I used to say I'm out 9 nights a week because that's what it felt like. Thankfully, I've been in business for 15 years, and now I have a wonderful team of people who can be out on the field a bit more than me. I'm still at a lot of events, but I've built it to a way where I could do these fun things like write books and talk to you.
I don't want to get into a lot of this, but for both parties involved here, but I have a lot of familial personal experience with endometriosis. It's horrible.
It's a horrible, real disease.
Yeah, and it gets passed off a lot. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to say something mean here, but it gets passed off by a lot of male doctors,
yes,
who don't seem to get it.
They don't.
That it's very painful, mm-hmm, and that it's also very emotional.
Very emotional.
Yeah.
It makes you physically and mentally incredibly ill. It takes a toll on everything, your work relationships, your life relationships. I mean, my husband, the amount of things I have broken over his head, vases, remote controls. It's a really real disease that gets you kind of told you're crazy a little bit. You're told, oh, you're not coming to work because you have your period. We need to talk about it more. And that was a big reason that I wrote about it extensively in the book, because...
Well, I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
Because people don't get it.
No.
People don't get it. And I also think it's... you know, I think there are, I don't want to get into them, but I think there are certain conditions, diseases that people just pass off. And even by the medical community, and I know when we were going through it, it was like, oh, well, here's some birth control pills. This will regulate you. Everything will be fine. Or we'll give you a shot. It'll throw you into menopause for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Have fun with that.
Yep. Or have 3 surgeries, like I did.
Yeah.
Be in the hospital for 10 days, and a week, month later, it's all back again.
Yeah.
It really needs to be regulated, talked about, studied. It's real.
And there are support groups for this for a reason.
Yes.
And I mean, we started seeing a therapist because of this. I mean,
it's
really hard.
Yes.
And you start losing your, I mean, in our case, you start losing your options.
Yes. We had lost all our, I went to 16 doctors.
Yeah.
I had 16 doctors, mostly male. I had one female doctor out of the 16.
I had one female doctor, and then she lost her license the day she was supposed to perform surgery.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Wow. and my daughter was born in North Carolina via a surrogate. It was my last embryo, our last embryo, our last hope, our last everything. I was listening very closely to Governor Cuomo speak about surrogacy.
Bet you were.
And I have a lot to say about that, too. But... it is a real thing, and I have heard from so many endo sisters from writing this book, and that is, to me, incredibly important.
How did it end up for you?
Which part?
Meaning the dealing with the endometriosis.
I'm still dealing with it on a daily basis. I'm supposed to have a surgery. I've been told a 12-hour surgery to remove endo from parts of my body that I didn't even know endo could grow on.
And then you know this all too well, but and then you battle adhesive disease.
Yes.
Which basically makes your body one-sided sticky tape that whatever comes near it, like, you know, your kidneys, your anything, sticks right to it.
Oh yeah.
And then you can literally, and by the way, I'm talking like I can feel this. I have no idea the pain.
But you can, because if you experience it with someone else, you have felt the pain.
Right. Well, you do. You literally feel it. But that is, that puts everything, how much does that put on hold?
Often a lot.
Yeah.
There's days I can't wake up. There's days that then I have to pretend, and I have to. There's a lot. There's a lot that comes with this.
And then, of course, the thing that they push is hysterectomy.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that said, well, all right, that'll take care of your problem.
And then we read and do research, and maybe it does not. And so we need more information.
Yeah.
We need the right information. We need doctors advocating for us, not doctors that want to just rip us open and take things out. I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot to it. I think I'm on both sides of holistic and medicine. We need both to work together. And I think there's ways. I mean, martinis and hot dogs for endometriosis, probably not the best thing. But I need some joy in my life.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned. We're gonna skip the other one, okay? Hey there, Mike. We'll go to the top of the hour, all right? I got stuff to talk to Mary about. All right.
I'm so happy we're talking about this. I really
Mary
am.
Giuliani
I
is,
really am.
Is our author. The name of the is our guest. The name of the new book is Tiny Hot Dogs: A Memoir in Small Bites. So you know, you mentioned the thing about holistic, and we found this in our lives. So as I'm telling you the story, first of all, I realize it's the first time I've really told this story. Second of all, I realize that I haven't checked with my wife that it's okay to tell this story, but okay.
Right.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. So, but my question is that the holistic comes where somebody comes to you and says, hey, I have an idea. We're going to go soak in a bath of, I don't know, like, you know, goat urine. And you're like, all right, what the hell?
Right.
Well, let's give it a shot.
Oh, I've done everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I had a Sifu come to my house, which was a man who, for me, it was a mortgage payment to watch him roll around on my floor and say that the reason we weren't able to get pregnant was I was allergic to dog saliva. Yeah. I've been there, done that. I'm talking about there are minor things. When I'm eating better and when I'm exercising,
yeah,
I feel better. And so whether or not that's a direct relation, but I also think medicine does have to come into it at some point.
But oh my God, is the medicine scary?
It's so scary.
I mean, I know the internet is our friend, wink, mm-hmm, wink, but good God. And then you, they'll say some drug,
mm-hmm,
and then you look up, and then there's this, like the drug name is I don't know, Contin. It's like continkillsyou.com, and then
yes,
you.
No, it's amazing. I got this box. As we all know, you get that box of IVF drugs when you first start.
Yeah.
And I remember I got the box and all I did was stare at it and cry and say, why me, why me, why me? And I went through the whole thing and did exactly what I shouldn't do. I Googled every single drug, which was, there's thousands of them in this box, it feels like. And there was one, I had to go on prednisone, I remember. And one of the side effects from prednisone was irrational happiness. And of all the things that I read, there was, you know, I said, I'm going to...
False sense of
being. I'm going to take irrational happiness and try to be irrationally happy.
Yeah.
It didn't really work, but that was the one side effect that I was like, I could work with that.
Yeah.
I could work with that irrational happiness.
On our pills, it said, false sense of security. And to which my wife said, all right, that sounds great. I'll take that for a couple hours.
Compared to chest hair growth and you know, I had moon face. Oh, that was a fun one when your whole face swells up. And
well,
it's
and also it beats just being in the fetal position,
mm-hmm,
screaming in pain.
Absolutely. I said to my husband, one of the chapters I was going to write was, can you die from crying?
Yeah.
Because after my third miscarriage or whatever it was, I remember I couldn't get out of bed. And I said, it hurts. Can you die from crying? Because I feel like I can actually die from this. And what I did learn is you don't die from crying and you can pick yourself back up. It's just, it's hard. It's hard. And there's, I mean, you can't have the one thing that you want the most in life and someone keeps telling you no and it's going to be hard.
So how did you come to terms with the child?
We did this very let go, you know, we had to be. Let go, let whoever it is you believe in. And I had literally one embryo left. And I said, I'm not doing this again. I'm not making another. I'm not going through the drugs. I'm not putting my husband through it. I'm not putting myself through it. It's heartbreaking, heartbreaking. And so we found the surrogate and we went down and I said, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we're done. I had this whole other life planned. And by the grace I have a 4-year-old daughter. And but it was hard to get her here. It was hard. And I, every single day I look at her, I remember that struggle. It doesn't go away. On Mother's Day, I still feel as sad and depressed as I used to, because I feel for my sisters that have gone through this. And so that's what I want to do in this next part of my life.
We had, my wife had emergency surgery. She had, I think, fallopian tubes and ovaries removed. And it was an emergency surgery, and then the surgery was supposed to be laparoscopic. It was supposed to take 30 minutes. It ended up taking over 6 hours. And then the doctor comes out and says, well, your window just closed dramatically as far as, you know, the possibility of having children. And so they put my wife on a gurney, and they brought her to the hospital floor where they deal with these issues, which is
the maternity ward.
The maternity ward.
I was there.
So you go into the pink room with all the baby pictures all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you not just want to be sucked up into the world?
That was the hardest day of my life. I went in for the same thing. I have a C-section scar.
Yeah.
I've never birthed a child. I never had a baby.
Sem to stern.
I was there 5 days. I was supposed to be there for 5 hours.
Yep.
And I was sitting next to two women in a shared room that were getting their babies that day. And
yeah.
I, destroyed. I just kept getting the morphine thing. I just kept knocking myself out.
Well, I said, there's got to be another room in this hospital.
Right?
There's got to be.
Right?
You know, I'll take the parking lot, for
anything,
God's sakes.
Anything.
Yeah.
But
this just seems like
torture.
Maybe not the best idea.
Torture.
Yeah.
Torture.
Okay, let's drink now.
Oh, my God, yes. Big drinks. Big drinks.
Let's drink.
We ate hot dogs. We cried. We drank.
I am crying.
This is
God.
Me, too. Thank you for talking about this, and thank you for being a strong man that talks about this,
so
too.
What are we drinking here?
We are drinking a Paloma. We are drinking a lot of tequila and a little bit of grapefruit juice.
Oh, God. Look at you.
Yep. Whew. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's fantastic.
That is fantastic. Oh, happy Friday.
God. Yeah. Now, you you really do in the book, I think, beautifully. I mean, we talk about the simplicity of this, and but that it doesn't have to. Oh, and all this stuff doesn't have to be hard, does it?
Nope.
Like we need to streamline and make things a little bit easier.
It's like life. You could complicate it as much as you want, but if you keep it simple, it sometimes works out.
But how much of that is your personality, your character, don't sweat the small stuff kind of person.
I think I had to get there. I've always had, I joke, but it's really true. I start the book by saying that my idol was the character Navin Johnson in the film The Jerk.
Oh, God, Navin Johnson. Yeah. The new phone book's here.
The new phone book's here. Things are going to start happening for me now. And then someone starts shooting
I'm
him.
I'm a person now.
I'm a person.
Yeah.
My whole life has been seen through Navin Johnson delusional optimistic eyeglasses.
The OptiGrab.
The OptiGrab. Damn these glasses. Yes, sir, I damn thee.
You have a section in here, I want to find it, where you talk about who you want to dance with, but Jesus is on the list.
Yeah, you know. I went to Catholic school.
Yeah.
And my husband kind of looks like him. And you thought of him as
Jesus?
I like Jesus.
All right.
He had long hair and a goatee and was wearing a fish t-shirt when I met him. Oh.
Your husband, not Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. So what's next? How do you work on all this? What do you do next?
I'm continuing to write, and I just hope people enjoy my silly stories so I can keep writing them.
Yeah, and you keep on doing the things that make the stories possible.
Oh, yeah. I still have got that nice little catering company.
Mary, you're the best.
Thank you.
What fun to talk to you. Thanks for the drinks.
Thanks for having me.
Stories and the honesty, and I really appreciate it. It's Tiny Hot Dogs, a memoir in small bites by Mary Giuliani. It's a beautiful book, a lot of fun, and just gorgeous. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, my
friend. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.